Sure. And I'm glad that you asked me so that I can address this. Roman is in Florida to continue with his treatment. You know, we're constantly trying to balance what is best for Roman with what is best for the 26 guys who, you know, are trying to get ready for a game. And unfortunately, the number of players on the IL has grown, but the size of the training room at Fenway Park has not. And we just kind of decided that, number one, it made sense for Roman to see another hand specialist in Atlanta, and then from there, continue with the rehab from Fort Myers, where we've got, you know, all of the resources and everything that we need. But the notion that this is like somehow punitive, or that we're, I don't know, trying to keep Roman from eating dinner, is pretty ridiculous.
Oh boy. All right. Well, that was something. It's 937 WEEI. Rich Shirtlieb, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson will be back with us on Monday. You can call us at 617-779-7937. And that was the voice of Craig Breslow on the Greg Hill Show, I believe, yesterday morning.
That's why you can never miss the Front Office Report, 9 a.m. Thursdays here on EEI, Rich.
Oh, look at that. All right. I like that.
Thank you.
And but yes, it's true. The Craig Breslow, sound a little more confident nowadays, as he should, but that answer was complete and total trash. Like that was somebody thinking that we're idiots. You know, oh, the reason Roman Anthony was sent down to Florida is because there just wasn't room in the training room. I mean, I know he's our biggest star, but look, there's only two different places that the guys can sit, 1, 2, and we got too many players, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 2 can't be 5, and 5 can't be 2, so off to Florida
now,
in the middle of July.
Now, you've had a day to think about this. You don't like my theory that Breslow is in on the joke, that that's him sending a message like Tupac. I got praised for my Tupac reference yesterday. This is like Pac trying to send a message through the lyrics. They're trying to light a fire under him. He knows what they've done.
Who gave you praise for your Tupac joke?
Some poor soul on Twitter.
I don't even remember your Tupac joke.
Well, that was it. I just reiterated.
That was the greatest sentence I've ever heard, Ken.
Thank you.
Well, sure. No. That was him trying to slip one past the goalie. That was the worst explanation ever. I mean, you know,
but at least they shipped him out. I mean, even if it's just a lie he thinks the public is too dumb to believe, he or Tracy, whoever, they got him out of here. That's the right move. You agree?
Well, I think that Tracy is pushing all the right buttons right now. I think he's got a team that should have given up, and he's got, like, I mean, they had every excuse to give up and to throw in the towel. And they are believing in themselves, and they have rallied, and they have come back, and I think Chad Tracy deserves a lot of credit for that. But a gentleman we love having on who is right there with the team, Chris Cotillo, Red Sox beat writer for MassLive.com. Chris and Sean McAdam had an amazing discussion about what they believe is going on, or what they have heard is going on with Roman Anthony. And Chris, first of all, are you waiting for them right now in New York? And are you amazed that somehow they weren't able to get out of Chicago until like 5 minutes ago?
Yeah, I'm at Citi Field. The Red Sox are not. So we are kind of in wait mode because they have had, you know, pretty bad flight issues here. They're in the air right now, and they're going to be landing at LaGuardia around 5 for a 7:15 game. You know, they're supposed to be in New York before 11 o'clock last night, and the plan still is to play. That's kind of, you know, what everybody's saying, but it's going to be an old-time show and go, you know, no BP. I think Sonny Gray's routine is going to be a little shorter. Be interesting to see how it plays out. But honestly, you know, they're lucky that they're flying into a place that's right next door to the ballpark they're playing in. So otherwise, I don't know how they make this happen.
Yeah, it is interesting. I just can't believe that, you know, they've been sitting there since 9 o'clock last night, and I'm like, you couldn't figure out any other way out of there? Like, I mean, like, even like a bus or something. I don't want to say never, but I can't remember a time when a team just couldn't get to a game that didn't involve like an act of God, like a tornado or something.
Yep.
Like that.
Yeah, this is three times so far this year in the last 2 years, they've had really bad flight issues. They had that flight to Minnesota last year where everybody gets sick and the turbulence was crazy and they diverted. This year they had that, you know, 6 a.m. arrival back at Fenway. So air travel is not fun for your regular consumer, and it's not fun for multimillionaire athletes either.
But real quick, Chris, not to dwell on this too much, but Contreras was pissed at like Delta or something earlier in the year for the Colorado thing. What is the deal with like the chartering? Like, do they have a set company all year that they deal with? Are they using like the old major league planes, you know, where they have the duct tape on the propellers, or what's going on?
Yeah, my understanding, and there's so many things they'd rather have than the writers ever be on those charters, so that's never going to happen, so I haven't done it. But the understanding is they just are contracted with Delta for charters to every city. They have, you know, believe it or not, kind of the same flight attendants for most of the year, and they get familiar with the crew and things like that. So I think it's just, you know, they have that deal, Delta deal, and, you know, I thought it was funny that Contreras went all Karen on us on Instagram complaining about, you know, like he was, you know, sitting there at Logan waiting for and it wasn't going to be a private flight that was just going to take off. But, you know, it's over the course of 81 road games and 6 months, you're going to have issues, and they've had a lot of them.
Picking fights with Delta, picking fights with fans on Instagram. Well, what can you do? All right. So, Chris, I want to ask you. You and Sean McAdam had a great discussion, and we played some of it yesterday about this Roman Anthony situation. It is strange. Roman Anthony, in the middle of July, has been sent away from the team down to Florida to rehab away from everyone. Can you kind of give me your take on what you have heard and what you feel is really going on with Roman Anthony right now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they do have the answer about the, you know, training room is crowded and things like that. And they did send three guys in Oviedo and Hauk and Cutter Crawford down to Florida to rehab about a few weeks ago. They do that at times. It's just, to me, I think the timing is pretty strange of why do that now. He's already been rehabbing at Fenway with the training staff, the guys who have had him, you know, working on this for 2 months. Also a big part of what he's able to do right now, because he can't swing, the only thing that he's really been able to do is defensively every drill imaginable, taking balls off the monster, learning how to play the wall. So they've made sure that his development has continued in that way. He can throw all that stuff. And he's been out there pregame at home pretty much every game, you know, fielding balls in the triangle or the, you know, left field triangle, not the main one, and off the wall and things like that. And I think that would suggest that Fenway would be a good environment for that to keep happening. So it kind of caught me off guard that they were doing this. I will say, the timing is weird because they came out and said it. I believe Chad Tracy said it in Anaheim over the weekend for the first time, just made it clear like, yeah, no, he's going to Fort Myers. We're going to transfer him down there. The beat and the media and fans wouldn't have found out about that for a really long time because the Red Sox, of course, are on this 10-11 game road trip. They then have a 4-day All-Star break, and we're not going to be back at Fenway until next Friday, which is, you know, 2.5 weeks in between home games. So people really wouldn't have been able to figure that out. So I do feel like by coming out and saying it, they're sending a message for whatever reason. I don't think Roman Anthony's a bad person, or he doesn't have his head on straight, or he doesn't want to come back. I think all those narratives aren't great. I just do think this is a wake-up call of some sorts. I'm not sure exactly why. But I think Tracy's comments where they could just, you know, have him solely focused on rehabbing and solely focused on getting that hand right and stop in with the hand doctor yesterday in Georgia on the way, you know, seemed like a wake-up call. And they're not going to come out and, you know, blast their young players and things like that, but I do feel like they went out of their way to make sure we knew where he was, and so some of the backtracking has been interesting over the last couple of days.
Wow, that does it, because it sounds, the way you describe it, like it's almost punitive, or like it's almost like they're sending him away because of something that he's done or isn't doing. Do you get that sense?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I would go that far, though. If you were going to punish somebody, Fort Myers in the dead of summer would be right at the top of my list of where to send them. It's close in March and February, so in July it's, you know, got to be very high up there. But, you know, I don't think there's some singular thing where he's not taking his rehab seriously or he's, you know, partying too much and they're pissed off about that. I just think that they maybe kind of wanted to send a wake-up call, going back to that term of just like, hey, you know, we're trying this and we think you can probably come back, but clearly there's not a lot of progress being made. You know, maybe a jolt to the system of, hey, you're going to go down there, be removed from everything. It's going to be 110 degrees, humid, all that. Like, is that going to kind of jolt you into maybe accelerating things? I don't know exactly why, but it just feels like it has an undercurrent of that. I think there's, you know, I can say that without taking it too far. Like, I do think Roman Anthony wants to be in there very badly. I do think this has mentally been very straining on him. I think it's come down to the fact that while trying to grip a bat, he's been unable to without intense pain. They've tried a lot of things, and this is an injury that's so unique and novel and all that, that you can't just do surgery to fix it. He said they ruled that out, I think, in that conversation with Bradford he had famously about 6 weeks ago. So it's been a very weird situation right along. Remember, you know, they were trying to see if they could have him avoid the IL when he first went on, and here we are, you know, 2+ months later, and he's in this situation.
Have you heard of any other issues that beyond the hand thing, Chris, with not only Roman but also Meyer? Like, we had heard scuttlebutt, not confirmed, that they were upset they were staying off campus in spring, and then, of course, we had Alex Cora make that comment about the young guys and the contracts too early, and then he had to backtrack on that. It seems like it's been kind of a theme this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's just growing pains that happen for every major leaguer. I mean, when you're called up and you're a big prospect and you don't perform at the very beginning, which in Meyer's case has been, you know, so far offensively, Anthony was great last year and then got hurt, had a bad April. Everybody knows the story. Sometimes the organization has to wake you up in a way. You saw Cora go out of his way to do that with Meyer, and that wasn't unfamiliar. You know, in my time on the beat, he's done that with Eduardo Rodriguez, very famously, absolutely ripped him after a spring training start against the Mets in 2019. Over time, he did it with Devers here and there. It obviously worked sometimes and didn't work others there. Alex Verdugo, he tried. There was, you know, a couple times where, you know, Rafaela and some of these guys, you know, the benching of Narvaez early on. Like, I think sometimes the manager, the veterans feel like they need to set a tone, especially with the really high profile rookies, the high profile prospects. And, you know, Anthony, I think, has been, you know, both of them have been, you know, pretty good citizens in terms of they seem to be well liked in the clubhouse, all that type of stuff. And Anthony was obviously on top of the world after the WBC, and he was, you know, becoming a leader and becoming obviously the face of the franchise before all this happened. With Meyer, I think you've kind of seen the struggles weigh on him. This is kind of a joking, laughing, kind of happy-go-lucky guy, or has been in my time, you know, knowing him a little bit in the minors, and then when he first came up and in spring training, and he's been in a, you know, kind of a more serious, dour mood as the struggles have continued over these first couple months and the pressures on him and all that type of stuff. So, you know, these types of wake-up calls come at different times for different guys. I don't think that the organization is looking at the two of them and being like, God, we're not getting what we thought we'd get. They're just growing pains for young players, especially that young, and guys who, in Meyer's case, might have came up a little early. So I don't think, you know, this affects the long-term future, but the bumps and bruises are playing out in real time. They're playing out publicly, and I think that's interesting.
Well, Chris, I have been saying the last, I guess, starting yesterday, is that it's time to start giving Chad Tracy credit, because you have a team that truly had every excuse to just quit. I mean, they're mm-hmm. I mean, historically bad. That streak they were going on, the negative streak at Fenway Park, was just embarrassing. Mm-hmm. I think they were the last team in the league to win double-digit games at home. And they could have given up. They could have thrown in the towel. They could have mentally checked out. But they have not. Like, they absolutely have done the opposite. They haven't given up. You haven't heard a ton of behind-the-scenes anger amongst players. Usually this is the kind of environment that has players turn against each other, whereas we're not hearing a lot of that. And look what they've done over the past, like, 2 weeks. They're beating very good teams. I mean, they swept the Yankees, swept the White Sox. Are you in the same boat? Are you now someone who can look at what Chad Tracy has done and said, and say, like I have, that this has been impressive what he's been able to pull together with these guys?
Yeah, I mean, and especially when you think about how banged up they are. Like, this team had issues that extended far past the fact that a lot of key players are injured. But the reality is, a lot of key players have been injured for a long time. They've gotten 6 starts out of Crochet. They have gotten only a month out of Anthony. Story was a non-factor when he was playing, and he's been out since, you know, early May, mid-May, whenever that was. And now Suarez is on the IL. Gray missed 2 weeks. You know, Houck hasn't been there all year. Oviedo, who is a lot of hype about, has been out the entire year, basically. And now Meyer's out, and IKF. And, you know, like, it's just on and on and on. I think what's happened is there's been a lot of guys that have come up that were not in consideration to be, you know, on this team in spring training or in April or in May. And in a lot of cases in June, because they were so far down the depth chart. And they've come up and said, this is my chance, and I have nothing to lose. Anthony Siegler, the poster guy for that, obviously. Mickey Gasper, when he came up and was leading off and gave him good at-bats here and there, obviously he tailed off toward the end. But it's these guys that are not supposed to be here that of course aren't going to give up because this is their moment. The Chings of the world and Siegler and, you know, the guy Harris they called up, they're traded for and called up. And some of these pitchers, Jake Bennett, I mean, he shouldn't be in the majors yet and he's been dominant. So I think when you have these kind of like under the radar, you know, lower profile guys that come up, play with energy, happy to be in the big leagues and contribute, it can kind of lift all boats. And they didn't have that. They had, you know, the expected cast of characters basically all underperforming for the first couple of months. And I think that's been, you know, credit to Tracy for getting that. But I think it's just kind of the characters in the room right now where, you know, you have a bunch of 4A players who are playing meaningful, you know, innings for this team. And they're trying to take advantage of it because they don't know if they'll get another opportunity like it.
Well, Chris Cotillo, hope you enjoy playing Wordle for about another 2 hours until the Red Sox end up showing up over there with the old Mets. This is so weird. I mean, they're literally just going to show up almost right before game time, but what the hell? At least they're going to make it. Well, Chris Cotillo, great stuff. The Roman Anthony storyline is very interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out. But, you know, when some sort of change is made, Chris will be the first one we call. We really appreciate all your you coming out with us today.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Chris. All right, we have to break. 617-779-7937. But Celtics' worst fears are about to be confirmed from what we are hearing right now.
Oh, really?
Yep. I don't know if you've seen some of the stuff that Stiz has been texting us over the last couple of minutes, but there is a major chance that you're not going to like this as a Celtics fan. Are you reading any of this? All right, we will get to that. Well, it's not confirmed.
This isn't the worst
fear. But it's almost confirmed.
It's your worst fear after. Okay, well, just tell me about it next.
All right, we'll get to it right after this.